the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790, send a WhatsApp to 253-4679, or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association with our good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Well, we are normally on at 6:15 on a Tuesday because of the budget and the response. Opposition leader Ralph Thorne, who has been on the show before, we are starting, a little bit late. But of course, we've got to have a Mason and Guests. We go until 10 o'clock tonight, and we're looking forward to your contribution. 441790. The regional tournament continues. Of course, the women are very much in St. Kitts. And in terms of the regional cricket, it's been interesting. We see the Windwards losing to Trinidad and Tobago. They were doing so well. Jamaica had a very, very important victory. And certainly when we look at the performance of the Barbados side, that must be a bit of a worry, not only as far as the men are concerned, but the women with Barbados, with the men losing to the Windwards, and then losing to Guyana. And that, of course, will be of some concern, particularly with Jason Holder and Kima Roach in the Barbados side. Didn't seem to make much of a difference in the overall result, although we saw a situation where Holder made an important knock in the second innings. And it's pretty clear to me that Holder and Roach, and of course Reefa, looking to get into the West Indies team. At the end of the World Cup, the West Indies side will be going to England, and no doubt these gentlemen are looking to get into that West Indies side. So we want to take a look at what's happening in terms of the regional cricket, and we continue to speculate as to what the possible West Indies squad would be in relation to the World Cup. But without any further ado, we've got panelists lined up already. Phil O'Wallace is way past your bedtime. Dr. Ford is with us, and of course Basil Butcher Jr. is with us as well, and we certainly want to welcome you to the show this evening. Perhaps I can start with you, Basil. You've been paying close attention to the regional tournament. How has it gone so far? Good evening to you, sir. How are you?
Good evening to you, Andrew. Good evening to the panel, Philo and Dr. Ford, and to all your listeners.
Mm-hmm. Well, already he's stuck. Philo, can you help Basil? Are you close to him? Is Philo stuck as well?
First class cricket we have seen in the Caribbean for a long time. Going into the last day, every single match was in play, and all of them went deep into the last session to decide the winners of each match. So it was, I was shuttling between all the games to keep up to see the different score. But the games I mainly looked at were the Barbados Guyana game, of course, and then the game between Jamaica and the Academy team, because I had some interest in seeing how Brandon King would have led the team. I wanted to watch him bat. I must say, in watching him bat, he looked a cut above the rest of all the batters in that game. He played test match like innings. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, in both innings, he went back to T20 strokes and got himself out. But for the most part, you could see that he has the temperament to play the red ball game, the test match game, and could buckle down on bat. Because I note in the second innings, him chasing, you could see that he knew that once he stayed there, Jamaica won the game. And he had scored 32 runs before he scored his first boundary. You know, that show you that he was, taking his time to bat. But one of the things I've heard some people complain or raise some concerns was about the batting overall in all four of the games. In three of the games, we had a centurion in each. The game with Barbados and Guyana, young Jonathan Drake's making his maiden first-class century. Kyron Powell, Leeward Islands made 100 in the game against CCC. And the game of Trinidad, Teon Webster made 100, but there were no hundreds in the Jamaica game. There were several half centuries. The young guy, Dorn from the under 19 team, made a nice 8-7 in the first innings. And of course, Mr. Brandon King making half centuries in both innings. Young Johnson making a 6-1. And the youngster from Barbados, Allen, making half centuries in both innings also. So, there were several scores of 300s, over 300, Guyana making 400 in the second round. There's some interesting talk would be as to one again, Chanderpaul failed as an opener. Mm-hmm. So, the heat is lighting up onto him as to whether or not he's going to be on the team going to England. And we got to see who else puts up their hand. I know Solazano made another half century, but we want to see hundreds because a half century at this level would extrapolate to probably 25 in a test match. So we want to see some hundreds from guys if they want to push Chanderpaul off the porch. Well, Powell did one with 100, so we're going to see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of Powell, he's been around for a long time. Do you think that making 100, he's still in the mix-up, or are you going to go past him?
No, I have to look at Powell. We are going to England. We're looking to go to England to win the Test Series. We're not going there to muck around. So okay. Regardless of what, if Powell shows, and the thing about him, he has Test experience. He's played over 40 Test matches. Mm-hmm. So I personally don't like the pair of Brathwaite and Chanderpaul. Right. To me, it puts more pressure on Brathwaite because they're both batting the same way. Mm-hmm. But if Brathwaite has a guy that could score a little more freely, it helps him. Oh, I must note though, young McCaskey from Barbados.
Yes.
Again, he don't like big hundred. He getting out in the 80s and 90s.
Yes.
And he's a youngster. I had on my list to knock Chanderpaul off the porch. So young McCaskey got to come up in the next three games.
I see. Philo, what about the overall standard, Philo? What do you think? Good morning to you, Philo.
Good night, Andrew. This morning. Coffee is a wonderful thing.
It
I don't know what I'm talking about. Basil, Julia, Ward, Seahawks, Roland, Butcher, Sherlock Hart, Carlos, Boogie, and Heaven. Andrew, the style of the first class cricket, I've been watching it, and it's all right. It's nothing really special to shout about.
Mm-hmm.
The quality, the thing is that the point standing shows the teams that have that really, put in the work. And that is obviously the Windrise and Leeward Islands. We have to commend them. Guyana, Jamaica is showing some fight, with young Brandon King coming back and bringing that national kind of attitude that was lacking at the top. Jermaine Blackwell led that team. When I watched the game against Barbados, he was just sauntering through, no real motivation. And Barbados continues to duck and dive. No consistency in their play. And then Guyana, inconsistent, lost their effervescent leader, trusting the young players. We see that there are certain players in the Ghana's unit, but obviously consistency is lacking. And CCC and the academy, they haven't really shown us the quality. They have quality, but they're not. Again, consistency is lacking. But the standard to me is just ordinary. I think the surfaces as well. Have not really lived up to the expectation. That one that the Barbados team just lost against Ghana and Antigua, I was told that it had a lot of grass on day one, and that's why the Barbadians decided to field. But it didn't really show that quickness. Obviously, the Ghana fast bowlers, Thorn and Smith, extracted some pace, some bounce, because I thought that they hit the ball into the pitch a lot harder. Were more effort deliveries than the Barbadian fast bowlers. I still think that the Barbadian 11s are not balanced, Andrew.
No.
I think that if you're bringing in Roach and Jason Holder, Jair McAllister must bowl that new ball with Roach.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see you bringing in Jason Holder and Roach and giving Jason Holder the new ball. Jason Holder is not a new ball bowler for us, and I think that McAllister should be given the opportunity to run in with that new ball with a senior man in Roach.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Shamar Holder, who's coming back from injury but looked pretty decent. And then you have Jason Holder. I think we're getting our bowling all mixed up, and we're not. And the bowlers seem not to know what they're supposed to be doing. And the pitchers are not responding, and some of them are fighting the pitches. Mm-hmm. And I think the surfaces, you just need to be very simple, hit your lines hard, and bowl decent line and length. You can still bowl quick and effective on slow pitches. But obviously, you have to be able to work hard and be able to put in the hard work. I've seen this in this tournament in the first-class cricket, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
I think first-class cricket is being undervalued by the players because it requires a lot of fitness.
Mm-hmm.
Because the conditions are very, very hard. They're very tough conditions to play in, and you have to be fit in order to really show your dominance and show consistency. The way how this tournament is going now, the teams are getting around the Caribbean again. So you've got to be fit to fly, fit to go into another environment and deal with it. Barbados are going to be in Trinidad. And different conditions. They're going to be at Queen's Park over there. The conditions will be saturated with heat. The pitch might not be as green. The pitch might be dry. So these are all the conditions. And I find that the standard is okay, but I think it should be better. But the players themselves, Andrew, they're the ones that have to make the cricket interesting for us to watch and want to watch. And I thought the last series was good cricket because it went into 4 days and give our batters and bowlers an opportunity to bowl and bat on a four-day pitch and also get the captain teams on a four-day pitch and set fields in order to get victories. And those who won the games, those individual franchise that won the games, obviously you have to give credit to them and the leadership. I thought that Imlak kept his cool. He didn't panic. everybody said he wouldn't do this, he wouldn't do that, but he kept his cool. And he believed in his bowlers and they brought Ghana over the line. So that is good to see. And I hope that we can still continue to look at leaders, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
The emergence of leaders, young leaders in the first-class cricket, and try to help them to develop their skills a bit more. But I thought that the standard to me is ordinary, Andrew, but I believe that in the last 3 years right now, people are jostling and looking to win. Then I think that it will improve because the teams are now going to be looking out. You know, it's always at the last minute to put in the big effort. So I think we're going to see, some decent cricket going into the back end of this tournament. And as you said, England's on the horizon. And everybody wants to get penciled into that squad. We don't know if they're taking 15 or 17 as yet. We don't know if we have to wait on Cricket West Indies as well, Andrew, because there's no selection panel in place.
Mm.
There's only one selector for the senior men's team, and that is Dr. the Most Honorable Desmond Haynes. Obviously, they will have scouts out looking at the other games, but there's no panel to select that squad for the World Cup and for England. So we have to wait and see first if there's going to be a new selection panel to select these two squads.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got a former selector with us, Roland Butcher. Roland, have they called you to deputize?
Andrew, good night to you. I will leave that one for you to answer.
So the answer is no then. but are you surprised that you have not been replaced, Roland? Are you surprised?
Andrew, what I'm hearing is obviously, you know, that the contract wasn't renewed because they're having this review in June.
Right.
That's what I'm hearing. Not that I have been told that, but at the same time, would it have made any sense to have not renewed my contract and then appoint somebody else straight away? I couldn't see a lot of sense in that because, I don't know what you think, but it certainly that would not have made any sense to me. So I cannot see anybody being appointed at this moment in time.
So who's picking the team? Desi and who else?
Well, there's no teams to pick right now.
Well, but I mean, who will pick the team then? Desi and the Honorable Desmond Haynes and who else?
I would imagine at this time, if there was any picking to take place, then I would think Desmond and first thing is White Ball, so it would be Darren Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
And with assistance from the captain, even though he doesn't have a vote.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would imagine. As far as the England series in July, I have no idea because who knows what's going to happen then and if they have this review in June. Will there be a selection panel? Who knows?
Who knows? I see. Dr. Ford, you're nodding there. I know it's way past your bedtime. Doc, were you listening to your good friend Dr. Ralph Thorne, opposition leader? So you're so tired listening to that. How are you, Doc? Were you listening?
It's been a kind of a long day.
You've been listening to Mr. Thorne, the opposition leader.
Good night to the panel and the listeners. I do try to keep informed as much as possible, but I believe in efficiency.
Were you informed? So, were you informed?
I believe in there's a more efficient way for me to glean the useful comments that could go through the blow by blow.
Carry on, Doc.
One of the interesting things about the tournament thus far is that, you know, when we look at the top six bowlers, four of them are spinners. So, you know, we've been trying to do more for fast bowlers and to give points. But yet, at this stage, you're starting to see the usual trend of spinners dominating the tournament. Wharton's been doing well. And, you know, there's Bishop and there's Cornwall and there's Ned. But it's just Louis and Philip in that group of over 20 wickets thus far. And I think that they will, the spinners will pull away as we continue, as the tracks get more tired and the usual thing, spin wins in the West Indies, but we don't have match winning spinners internationally. So that's a real, really perplexing thing. Another observation is that some of the experienced players have really done quite badly. You look at the Blackwood, and you look at the Brooks and you consider some of the others, and even some of the players that recently came back from Australia have underperformed. So I know that the team will be mainly, a rubber stamping of the team that had done so creditably in Australia, but we have to look at their form. Is it that the pitches are different, or is it that, you know, they've come back and kind of settled into, just fitting in to the standard that we have there? So that's something to think about. But the thinking of who will make way and who the weak links are in the test team is a fascinating thing. And we did talk about the T20 team, and we talked about Hetmyer and who could go, and we talked about which fast bowler could go. We only came with two, and certainly in the test match team, then we also have some other interesting things to look at. Can Holder come back? If he comes back, who goes? What happens with Graves? Is Graves better than Holder potentially, or is he going up while Holder's going down? So, and do we need a new opener? Is Chandrapal there? Is Brandon King better than Chandrapal? He certainly looks that way, but I think that we'll still have some decisions to make going forward. And I am interested in Roland's comment too regarding he did say, are there any teams to pick? So I was wondering what that really meant. Does the World Cup team hasn't been picked already, Roland, has it?
Roland?
As far as you know.
Roland?
Not officially, but I cannot really see that being any different from the squads that we had, certainly in the last two series.
Mm-hmm. You mean mathematically different, or you mean?
Well, there may be the odd addition, but I can't, okay. I cannot see that group being it. Because the reason for having the group together was to prepare them for, the World Cup.
But I can ask you.
What I'm saying is, other players would not have had the opportunity to really be competitive because there was no cricket for them to play, really. So that those groups were put together and they perform creditably. So, they're the front runners. There may be, Shamar Joseph, I would think, would come into the reckoning break, but outside of that, I can't see a lot of others really making the change.
Mm. You have a question
It's interesting to look at your perspective on how you think selection's best done in the region. We've had generations of selection panels coming from various islands and constructed by different individuals going around and having scouts. But do you think that a shift, as you may have suggested, to maybe the captain being more involved, the coach, and maybe one selector being chief, do you think that this is better, or do you think it's more efficient, or do you think these people are more informed? Do you think it's a move in the right direction if we change how selection is done?
Doc, to be honest, I think it would be a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
I think the coach is far too close to the action. He's with the players on a daily basis. If you've only got the coach, and then you've got the one selector.
Mm-hmm.
And then the captain has a say, even though he doesn't have a vote. But you get a situation where the captain and the coach they're working together on a daily basis, and it almost renders the other selector irrelevant, because if you've got two in the meeting who are working hand in hand together can speak before they come to the meeting. The one selector, I think you need to have a certain number of people where everybody can have their say. You can bounce ideas off, and then obviously you come to a consensus. Sometimes people come to a meeting with one idea, and through the discussion that takes place in the meeting, they realize that perhaps that's not the best idea, and they change and go with the majority. So I don't like the idea of two. Also given, you saw what happened with England. Chris Silverwood took over as chief selector and coach, and he didn't last 6 months. He was fired within 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a total disaster for England. They changed from their traditional three or four selectors. I went to that. I think that was a disastrous move. And in many ways, England cricket has not recovered from that. So I don't really believe that would be a good option for the West Indies.
Mm.
Well, it is interesting that a way forward hasn't been articulated, because the interval between the relief of yourself and others, there's no clear path. And I think it points to what Andrew and some of us have said, the communication isn't what it should be. We don't see the vision and we don't see a highway that we're heading on, so that people can understand and relax and be more patient. We always tend to get hurried information, and trying to out some fires based on other things. So it would be nice to know where we're going and how we're going to get there. But does I guess we will look forward to see those teams that will be selected.
Mm. And you're saying, Roland, that you don't expect, outside of the established players, you don't. And you said Shemar Joseph should make it. Is that what you're saying? Can you confirm this? Haven't spoken to Desmond Hayes.
Well, I have not spoken to Desmond Hayes. Obviously, Desmond is now the selector. So if I speak to Desmond, it is certainly not on these issues. But you know, if me speaking personally, I would believe that you know, Shemar Joseph would come into the reckoning. Mm-hmm. You know, people would think, you know, why? But you know, no, it's not just based on what he has done in Australia. I mean, Shemar Joseph has played white ball cricket. You know, he brings the same sort of skills and pace and everything in white ball cricket, which, you know, you do need that sort of pace as well. You know, if your attack is pretty similar all the way through, it also becomes quite predictable. So the addition of someone like him to the squad would be an asset. There's no question about that.
Roland, just remind me of your squad again. I mean, at the top, Charles and Mears, is that correct?
Well,
pardon me?
I can't think off the top of my head here, but Basil probably does. The 15, if you look at the 15 that played against England and probably India,
right,
finishing probably with England at 15. That 15, you know, you're looking at that 15 really with. Hmm. No, Shemar didn't play.
Right.
Obviously.
So if you're going to bring him in.
So that's what I'm saying.
If you're going to bring him in.
So he's one person that could probably.
Mm-hmm. Shane Thomas, Andrew, or Shane Thomas.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility.
I see. So then you
but it won't change, Andrew. I don't believe it'll change much.
You don't believe in,
and it shouldn't at this stage, because if it changes much now, you're panicking.
Right? Mm.
You know, we settled on a squad that we believe could get the job done, and they needed to be backed. They need to be given matches, the opportunity to prepare.
Right.
Preparation is the important thing. Prepare. You know, just go changing for the sake of changing now will unsettle the whole process. I mean, it is unsettled at the moment, because West Indies is not going to have an easy and clear path to this World Cup, because the preparation time for this team is very limited. You know, if you've got about 10 players in the IPL, not many of them are going to play regularly.
No.
There may be two or three that gets regular games. So the problem you're going to have is that you're going to have these guys in India sitting down, not playing, not getting any matches. And the IPL finishes quite late. So they're going to arrive back in the Caribbean, I guess, within a week or so before the World Cup starts. That team, you know, how can they prepare? So they've already got problems in that sense, in that, you know, some of those three guys are going to play too much cricket, and the majority are not going to play enough in the IPL.
Interesting.
And that's going to be the real problem.
All right, we're going to pause our business calls. When we come back, the lines are open, 4341790. Give us a call and participate. As I said, Mason and guests starting at 8:30 this evening, the normal 6:15 time, because of what's been happening in relation to the budgets and the response. And we go until 10. Mason and guests, brought in association with our good friends at ASFU at Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFU, white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, the lines are open, 4341790. Give us a call. Let me come back to you, Philo, and we're going to talk to Basil Butcher Jr. in a minute. Any young fast bowlers you've seen? I know that Doc spoke about the spinners, and they have been, you know, doing so well over the years. Any young fast bowlers in the regional tournament that would have caught your eye, Philo?
I would use young. I would just say fast bowlers.
Okay,
fair enough. I don't like to use the word young or old or anything like that. But you look at Isaiah Thorne.
Mm.
He still needs refining, Andrew, but he has the characteristics mm-hmm. to be a fast bowler.
Mm-hmm.
He bowled with some pace. He offset our captain.
Yes, he did
as well. I watched that. They look like bees round somebody's head.
Mm.
You know, they were all flinching. So he looks like a good prospect. I like the guy from Shields from Jamaica. Shields,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he looks good. He's strong.
Big and strong.
He hits the deck hard.
Yes.
He reminds me of a former Jamaican fast bowler named Joseph Grant. Always running in.
I remember Joseph Grant,
you can see that he can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Shields is fit. And he looks good. But again, he's playing the Jamaica side that's not really showing that kind of mm-hmm. the Jamaican way of cricket, really dominating. But he looks good.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like Shamar Joseph. Shamar Hall is coming back into himself.
Okay.
Andrew, I got some calls the other day. And, you know, but I think that people don't understand the nature of his injury and what he had to do.
Mm-hmm.
You have to rebuild your action and rebuild your body.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to work yourself into it and trust your body and trust the muscles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know he has a little concern with the indifference in the surfaces, especially the outfields. Because I spoke to him the other day. I told him that the outfields you're going to play on are not going to be pristine. They're not the international outfields.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get those little humps and bumps that you're run up.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to try, your body going to have to adjust to it. You know, training in England on good grounds, as you all know, the grounds are pretty even at club cricket. You don't get that inconsistency with your foot in.
Mm-hmm.
You can run in really, really steady and smooth and hit your strides and stuff like that. But it's good. I think it was good to also see Smith from Guyana.
Niall Smith.
Mm-hmm. Only about 3 years ago,
he was on the radar.
He was supposed to selected.
He was in the radar, yes.
But it's good to see him. It's good to see him looking the part, and I realize that again, the hunting and Pierce Thorne is going to pull him through.
Mm-hmm.
Thorne is going to pull Niall Smith through, yeah, because he's now going to realize I have a guy that at the other end who's putting in the effort.
Mm-hmm.
So he looked the part against Barbados, and obviously Ghana always wanted to beat Barbados,
mm-hmm.
and I hope that Barbados wake up and realize that all the teams want to beat them mm-hmm. as well. So, but Anderson Phillip and Jaden Seale from Trinidad, they're coming back from injury, steady building up their workload, and they look pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
Again, on surfaces that are not helpful,
mm-hmm.
they're still getting the ball to go through quite nicely, and they look good in there, and their rhythm look good, which is important. Mm-hmm. But fast bowling is rhythm. Once your rhythm is up, mm-hmm. no matter what type of surface you're running on,
mm-hmm.
you're going to hit the deck. I'm disappointed in McAllister, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
After being 3 years in our cricket, he's still all over the place. His action mm-hmm. is not as compact as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And again, with Vassar Drinks as the head coach, mm-hmm. who's a former fast bowler, Barbados and West Indies, and play a lot of cricket in England and South Africa,
mm-hmm.
really feel like Vassar should be tightening him up with his action. He's a little too loose for me, and he releases the ball at all different angles and positions, and that's why he's not consistent. And sometimes, you know, I know there are 3 days between the games, but sometimes you have a guy like him, you need to pull him out on a rest day and take him down to the park and say, look, we're going to bowl for maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then you can take a rest and come back at it because he needs a lot of bowling. And I think that if we can get his action consistent and bowl the ball on a consistent line and length, he could be a handful. I know he might be struggling to get into that squad to England, but I hope he's not disappointed. I hope he continues to work hard because there's still a future for him.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a future for him, Andrew. And the Windward Islands have 2 or 3 decent guys. They're not express pace,
mm-hmm.
but steady and causing problems.
Mm-hmm.
But the fast bowlers, to me, you know, because of the surfaces too, Andrew, we haven't really had those quick surfaces that we were expecting and we heard about. And now we're going into Trinidad at Queen's Park. Oh, the surfaces, they are not going to offer much to our seamers, but they have to be consistent in their line and lengths and believe and continue to hit their lines hard and their lengths and get the results. But they look good. The fast bowlers are pretty decent, and I hope that they can continue to improve in the next three games and give the selectors, whoever they will be, some headaches to pick. That's, I don't know if it's 17, but normally we go to England with 17.
Mm-hmm.
But we also, too, do we need to consider who's going to be our second string keeper?
Mm. Roland?
As well.
Roland, are they going to carry 17 or 16? Do you know?
Roland? That's a very good question, Andrew. But before I answer, before I say what I feel that 16 or 17 will be, the topic that you just discussed in terms of bowlers, fast bowlers, I think you need to keep an eye on this guy, Jedaya Blades.
Okay.
Left arm, over the wicket.
Mm-hmm.
You notice almost in every game, he's got the first two out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, proper batters. He gets them out early.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone unnoticed, and you know, I think he's somebody you got to keep an eye on. I mean, he's impressed me in this series. Obviously, playing for CCC, so a lot of people are not going to be really taking a lot of notice of him. Mm-hmm. But you know, he's done some good work today.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of England, I don't think there are a lot of places available. The squad that went to Australia, they did a very good job. I always felt that they would do a good job because their preparation was very good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that team were together for most of that year.
Mm-hmm.
They went on 2 18 tours together. You know, 10, 11 of the 15 that went to Australia were in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, those players should be rewarded. I think there's possibly three places that could come under discussion. And maybe a question mark with another, but by virtue of Barbados dropping a King Jordan, that may not be to his advantage. I think Zachary McCaskey has a few games now to put scores on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, so really possible changes and the persons, I would say, you've got McCaskey, Brandon King, wicketkeeper, I would say you've got probably Shea Hope, Tevin Imlach, and Jaden Seals, Akin Jordan. I can't see many more changes beyond that.
So,
Andrew, why I asked about the keeper, Andrew, that because Imlach doesn't keep for Guyana.
Mm.
He's our second string keeper that went to Australia, and he does not keep in regional cricket. So how you're not keeping in regional cricket, unless any selectors are going to pick you to go to England, where keeping in England is most difficult.
Mm.
Where he should be now looking to take those clubs away from the stand for the keeper, that's keeping for Ghana, and keep making it get practice. So I can't see how Imlach could be our second string keeper going off to England with no practice and regular cricket.
I said Shea Hope.
Yes. Yes, you did say that.
By the way, Philo, the reason why Imlach is not wicket-keeping, he has a finger injury.
Okay.
That's why he's not wicket-keeping.
Oh, that's the reason.
So the PRO told you from Ghana that they refused to send this out to the media in the Caribbean.
Yeah, fellow, I said Shea Hope, possibly for Imlach.
Yeah, I heard you said Shea Hope, Roland. Right, yeah, I've been saying Shea Hope, but I don't know if Shea Hope wants to play red ball cricket.
Well, that's my thing, you need
to nail them if these guys want to play red ball cricket.
Good.
That's my thing.
But I know with interest, though, Roland, you haven't mentioned the name Jason Holder. Is he in your squad? Is he in your squad to England, Roland? The tapes are rolling.
Well,
this is going to make primetime news.
I mean, do you think Justin Graves deserves another chance?
No, I didn't ask. Why are you asking me the question? I asked you a question, Roland.
Because you, Roland,
I listened to you very carefully, and you did not mention the name of Jason Holder. So why are you asking me about Mr. Graves? I'm asking you a question. Can I ask the question slowly?
The reason I'm asking you that,
Mr. Butcher,
is because
Mr. Butcher?
In my 15, Justin Graves was in the 15.
Okay,
wasn't he?
Okay. So you're not taking Jason Holder to England in your squad?
Well, I can't see Graves going to fit in at this stage, really.
So the answer is no, then. The answer is no.
No, you have to reward those boys who did well, who did so well in Australia.
Mm.
That doesn't mean the end of Jason Holder's career.
Mm-hmm.
But Justin Graves deserves another. And he bowled well too.
Mm. So Roland Butcher is not carrying Jason Holder to England.
Not that Roland Butcher has any say. You know, I'm just like the layman. I'm just like the layman in the street like you are.
I'm talking
like a layman.
Well, no, Paul.
I'm not a selector.
Well, tomorrow
I'm
morning.
Not a selector. I'm not a former selector. I'm talking as a layman in the street or somebody who played cricket.
I like that.
I just feel those guys who you have invested in through the year team, they graduate, playing the hardest team to play in Australia. Australia played all the top players that they would have played. And they come away with that. To now say to these boys, well, you've done a good job, but I think that would hurt them and could possibly hurt a lot of young players in the Caribbean, thinking that more senior players who are missing could just come back and go straight into the team.
Okay.
As I said, some experienced players are going to be unlucky.
Mm-hmm. I see. Very interesting indeed. Let me throw it now to Dr. Ford. You heard Roland Butcher say that he will not take Jason Holder to England. Your response to that, Dr. Ford?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we all ponder on. There was a time when Jason was the number one all-rounder in the world, but his batting has certainly fallen off since the double hundred here with Shane Dowrich. And I think his batting falling off has been the Achilles heel. And I believe that this white ball cricket has injured his ability to play a proper red ball innings. And if you have Kemar Roach and Jason, I think it's difficult really to have the two of them playing together or even considering them being in a squad together, even though Graves is of the same pace. But, you know, Jason's going to be economical, so if you're going to take him, if he's going to qualify as an out-and-out bowler, that would have to be his qualification, because he doesn't bat well enough now to really bat at seven. He has to bat at eight. So based on that team going to Australia, I think it's going to be difficult for him to make the way in. And I, you know, something that's puzzled me is how Akeem Jordan could have made all these tours and not get a match. I think he's been unlucky. I think that we did enough tours that Akeem Jordan should have been given a match at some stage, where we just had to see what the players that were on tour had to give. And I think he should have played before the Australian tour. And for him to lose his position without having played a match isn't really justice. I'm not saying that he'll make it, but I think that he'll be hard done if that is the case. And you know, I just see McCaskey and Shandipaul in the batting being vulnerable. And I guess the real question is Jordan. As we mentioned, but I'm not sure Jason can make it. I'm not very comfortable with either of the two wicketkeepers. I'm still not convinced that Joshua De Silva is a test class wicketkeeper, and you know, in front of the stumps. And I think we really have to search for a keeper. We need a keeper. You know, you see Alex Carey, you see the young 21 or 22 year old from India. I think we really have to look for a wicketkeeper batsman and accept that in this day and age, you must be able to bat and hold an end and make runs, make 50s and contribute significantly. I don't think that even when you look back at some of the keepers and you look at their averages, the West Indian average of 29 and that sort of thing that we've accepted just isn't good enough for keepers. So I think we have to really look for a batsman that can keep. And I think you're mentioning Hope is a good idea as a way of getting him back into the team at a lower level rather than being a number three or opening as we erroneously did earlier. So I believe it's time to make a shift there. Because even in this four-day tournament, the few matches that De Silva has played, he hasn't really done well. And I think that he's a guy who is struggling. But to get back to your question, Jason's going to have a hard time making the team, as far as I can see. Mm.
What would you say about that?
Andrew, just a question for the doc.
Yes.
Just a question for the doc. Don't forget Joshua De Silva's contribution in that second test that West Indies won, you know. Mm. Would you want to leave him out after that?
Mm. Well, I mean, the thing is that, well, one of my main problems is that I believe Shane Dowrish is such a better, I know Shane is retired, but my issue is seeing a guy like Dowrish and then seeing Joshua. You know, I really need, after seeing world cricket, wicket-keeping batsmen perform, I really need to go up a level from Josh. And I mean, I'm not a guy who's played cricket. I'm just a cricket fan. You know, I appreciate the efforts and the contribution that everyone makes. But I'm just saying that a team in our situation, being at our ranking, if we're to do better, we can't really be satisfied by saying that a guy that makes the score on occasion and kind of focus on that. But we have to look at the work over time. Yes, it was an impactful innings for sure, but consistency is necessary. And I don't think that making a score when you're in jeopardy of maybe succumbing to not being selected is sufficient to hold on for another period. Mm-hmm. So I still think we have to look at everybody. We can't have everybody in the team averaging 20 something and maybe the captain averaging 30 odd. I mean, something has to give if we are to put up scores for our bowlers to bowl at.
Interesting. Okay, gentlemen, when I come back, I'm going to come to you, Basil, about this whole business of Jason Bowler, and of course, Philo. Can we take a call before we go? Yes, we can. Yes. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Andrew.
Yes.
Good evening to you and your guest.
How are you?
I'm trying to stay focused.
You should.
As focused as the good Lord would allow me. I have a couple of questions to ask you, Doc.
Yes.
I want to know, Dr. Ford, from you, how it is...
Medical questions or cricketing questions?
I want to know
really
how it is
at
right with you.
Questions, but go ahead.
You know, I don't appreciate some comments sometimes. Mm. But anyway, I want to ask you, how is it with you?
Levities.
For Shamar Joseph to go to India to play IPL cricket, and then he come home before the World Series, the World Tournament start, you are not going to allow him into your team. That is one. Mm-hmm. He can't go and play cricket in the IPL, and then when he come home, he can't play 2020 cricket for the West Indies. I don't understand what you're saying. Realize concern.
Will you let me deal with that and then come with the others later? Because I could be succinct for you, so you won't lose your train of thought. But you know, he hasn't played the IPL. He hasn't played the IPL yet. Suppose he goes, plays the IPL, he doesn't come off. Suppose he isn't the shocking success you expect him to be based on what he's done in one or in two test matches. That's one possibility. Number two, suppose he is a success. The thing is, what is the vision of what Joseph can do for West Indies cricket, what we want him to achieve. And as I said, I stick to my thesis that T20 cricket is a lottery which does not reward good line and length and hitting off stump. There's too much batsmen can do too many things and it's too much chance and it doesn't really give you the rewards that we want him to get. We want him to consistently, at his young age, bowl the test match length and become, you know, Rabada or something that we can be proud of. And I don't think trying to chase a T20 that I don't think we may have the firepower to win in any case, because I believe Australia, India, the others, I think it would be naive of us to think we can do it. And I believe that he is a guy that needs to be handled. He is a potential world-class test cricketing star.
I don't think we really remember.
Those of us who like cricket don't really remember the big T20 stars, if you think about it. We revere the test players. So that's my answer, but go on to your next question.
No, but you say it'd be naive of us to think that we can't win. But would it be naive of us to think that we could win? That you say that we can't win and in fact we could win? Anyway, moving on.
Well, of course, the lottery means that any outcome is plausible, but the probability is the thing. And also, you got to look at the ranking. You got to look at what's been happening. How many T20 games have we won? Yes, we're at home. The grounds are small, but the truth is, you know, when you look at the Australian lineup, you look at Indian lineup, you look at England, you even look at some of the other teams on these small pitches, Afghanistan, it's going to be a tough World Cup.
But
we don't have the track record to say that we can win.
But
you know, I love West Indies cricket, but I got to be honest.
But who would have thought that we would be on the
I don't think Jamar.
Anyway, let me move on, please.
Yes, go on.
Who would have thought that we would have beat Australia in a test match with practically a second string team? Anyway, let me move on. I want to know if it is not possible, and this is for Roland now, if it is not possible to renegotiate with Shane Dorrich to get him back in the fold.
Oh, dear.
Seeing that we are short of a wicketkeeper, and that for you, and this is final, I want you to tell me what is... Jason Holder's ranking now in test cricket has it all wrong. What's his ranking? Because you seem to be a statistician.
All right. Thanks for your contribution. Roland, I think the one was you in relation to Mr. Dorridge.
Well, I don't know why that was for me, because you know, Dorridge currently has retired from international cricket, which means he's not available for selection.
Mm-hmm.
He would not have taken that decision lightly. You know, he's still playing first class cricket. So I don't believe that Mr. Dorridge is going to change his mind anytime soon to want to return to the international game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can respect him for that. If he believes that he's not able to function at that level anymore, you can respect him for making that decision.
Okay.
You know, some people will try and hang on for the money and other thing, but he made a decision that, you know, it was time to walk away.
Okay. He's number five. Phil, just hold your horses, because, of course, we got to link this with what's happening locally. Stephen Leslie is with us, and Philip Spooner is with us. He's the media operations manager in relation to the ICC. Philip, what part of the world are you now, Philip? Philip Spooner?
Hi, Anthony. Hi to the listeners. I'm actually at the UBS Arena in Long Island.
Really?
We're here watching New York Islanders take on the Carolina Hurricanes in ice hockey. That's I'm here with Ali Garvey, USA fast bowler, and a couple of other persons involved in the ice hockey World Cup. So we're spreading the gospel of cricket far and wide, letting everybody. Today's ice hockey. Earlier today, it was another event in the New York area. Then yesterday, it was Empire State Building. And later down in the week, it will be the Space Station in Houston, Texas. So we're trying to get the whole of America and the entire West Indies, the entire world, interested, involved, and fired up to watch some world-class cricket.
And earlier you would have been in the company of Chris Gayle, I'm told.
Yeah, running around New York with the Universe boss. Fun, lots of excitement, lots of engagement with fans. There's no bigger name in world cricket than Chris Gayle, let's be honest. The world of cricket loves Chris Gayle. Chris Gayle loves world cricket right back. And it was amazing to see how many people who did not have a clue about cricket were so excited and enthralled, really, by his presence. And I believe that Chris Gayle leaves New York, the whole of New York will know and understand what cricket is all about.
Yeah, interesting. So what's the real purpose of your visit, though? But by the way, we're going to break it.
Yeah, well, it's...
I just want to alert... Just hold your horses, Philip. Just want to alert listeners that at 9:30, we're going to go for the news and come right back. So continue. Yes, Philip.
Yeah, it's the ICC T20 World Cup Trophy Tour. It started in New York with Chris Gayle and Ali Khan lighting up the Empire State Building. The trophy went to the top of the tallest building in America. And at night, the lights were turned on in the colors of pink and blue, pink and blue being the colors of the tournament. So it was really a massive international activation to have a West Indian legend, a Jamaican, you know, being the lead person, so to speak, on such an amazing activation. And it was really wonderful to see. And the High Commissioner, sorry, the Consul General for Barbados, to New York, Lorenzo here, when he was there, he had a good time interacting with Chris Gayle. And, you know, it was just a wonderful event. And earlier today, we had the CEO of the ICC, Jeff Allardyce, and other ICC officials, Gayle, again, Ali Khan, and other persons involved in the tournament. We had a very good look at the stadium in Nassau County. And seats are already going in, Andrew. It's going to be 35,000 seats. Seats are already gone in. The pitch is square. It's already started out. And they're moving at a rapid pace to have that facility arranged. As you know, all 35,000 seats have already been sold for India, Pakistan. That's the talk of the town. Everybody wants to know, how can I get a seat for India, Pakistan? Well, they're all sold out. But if you want to get tickets for other matches, tickets.t20worldcup.com is where you'll find them. And don't fear if you're not tech savvy. Ticket box offices will be opening again. Will be opening soon, rather. And you'll get the chance to purchase over the counter. But as I said, Chris Gayle taking New York by storm. Lighting up New York City. First time I think anybody from the Caribbean, as far as I can recall, after Rihanna would have, have done that. People like Oprah Winfrey, Barack Obama, Serena Williams, Tiger Woods, those are the type of persons who normally light up Empire State Building. And your boy, Chris Gayle, joining that list of amazing international celebrities. So it was a wonderful event, something amazing to witness.
I see. Well, stay with us because we also want to get some reaction from Stephen Leslie. Of course, a big event is going to be happening next week in relation to Sir Charles Griffith. We really want to hear about that as well. What we're going to do now is do a commercial, and we come back, we'll continue our discussion. Mason and Guest, Broughton Association, with the very good friends at ASFE, where we're on the best shot of the day.
ASFE, white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, it's 9:36 in the country. Stephen Leslie joins us. Stephen, a big talking point, the unveil of the Sir Charles Griffith statue. That comes up on March the 25th. How's it going? Stephen?
Going exceptionally well. We are just 6 days away from a most electrifying event that we believe will be an inspiration to many young cricketers, not just in Barbados, but throughout the region, because the unveiling of the statue for Sir Charles Griffith, it's been weeks of planning. Mm. We've had a very strong promotional marketing campaign, and we are now just in the, final stages of pulling everything together for that wonderful event. It starts at 4:30 p.m., Andrew, on Monday, March 25th. I will say to everyone that one of the really highlights that we've had so far, the planning meetings have been going well, but listening to Sir Wesley Hall, who's been, as you know, from back in the 1960s, a very strong supporter, friend, and, you know, fast bowling partner for Sir Charles Griffith. I had the privilege of doing a recording with him at his residence, which will be produced and really released to the public on Friday coming, and then we'll obviously have some additional information that we will share the night of the event. But listening to Sylvez, I will say that that has been the highlight of my professional career, which started some 3 decades ago back at Cave Hill in the sports administration. Listening to Sylvez Andrew, the passion he has as an 86-year-old, the strong relationship that his children have with Sir Charles. And he spoke yesterday. I just want everyone to listen to this because, I mean, he spoke for at least 45 minutes, Andrew, nonstop. And we just listened to Sylvez talking about Sir Charles and all the things they did as young men and things that they still do now at, you know, the ripe age of 86 and 85, respectively. So the planning is going very well. There's going to be a road closure, which I need to let the public be aware of.
We're keen to hear about that.
With the event beginning at 4:30, the Barbados Police Service have made the determination that from 1 p.m. that there will be a traffic closure, and these are the details that have been provided. So if you're coming along the mighty Griner Highway, which we all know in Barbados as the Spring Garden Highway, and you're hoping to head into Bridgetown, you'll be asked to turn right at the lights and proceed onto Harbour Road. So let me repeat that. You're coming along the mighty Griner Highway and you're hoping to go into Bridgetown. There will be a diversion where you're asked to turn right onto the Harbour Road. Similarly, if you are coming from Bridgetown and you are approaching the general area of Fontebelle, you'll be diverted left at the lights to proceed along that road, and then you head out to mighty Griner. So again, if you're coming vehicular traffic from Bridgetown area, when you get to that junction, you'll be diverted to your left to go on to the Harbour Road and onto the mighty Griner Highway. You can also turn right and go basically into the Passage Road area. And the last bit of information, coming from President Kennedy Drive, approaching Kensington Oval, you'll be diverted to right, which will take you to the Westbury Cemetery area. Or you can go left, which will take you along that Westbury Road area. So final thing, you're coming from President Kennedy Drive, heading in the direction of Kensington Oval. When you reach those lights, you can turn, you'll be diverted to go right, which would allow you to go in the area of Westbury Cemetery. And then you can also turn left, which will take you into the general area of Westbury Road into Baxter's Road. So, Andrew, that's just the road information. But in terms of what we expect to have an exciting night. We're going to hear from Chris DeCarries. We're going to hear from Calvin Hope of the BCA. You're going to hear from Sir David Simmons. You're going to hear from Sir Charles Griffith himself and also the Honorable Prime Minister of Barbados, Mia Amor Motley. So we have a really action-packed, star-studded group of persons who will be sharing in that moment. And for us, the opportunity to honor Sir Charles, we know his cricket statistics, but we think collectively what he did following cricket, working at the Barbados Lumber Company for many years, being a successful businessman, you know, his whole ledger time at the Barbados Turf Club, as we know in Barbados, horse racing and garrison, and you know, coming from the departure of St. Lucie and really making a name for himself, breaking into a Barbados site. So there's so much that we want persons to collectively look at, and we really are looking forward to celebrating with Sir Charles Griffith on Monday, March 25th from 4:30 p.m. at Kensington Oval.
Just before you go, Stephen, I think it was the week before, the acting vice president, well, acting president, he's vice president, he's acting president, said that the local season starts on April the 7th. Can you confirm this?
Well, Andrew, I know that the information was highlighted not just by Mr. Calvin Hope, I think our cricket operation development manager, Wendell Coppin, he would have mentioned it as well. I'm still awaiting official word. I'm sure that that will be given to me in my capacity as marketing and communications of BCA. But all systems are
set. Well, but hold on. But hold on. You're saying you're still awaiting official word? Well, the season is less than a month away, Stephen. What's going on there?
Yeah, like everything else, Andrew, you know, as a professional Once you receive the information officially in writing, it then can be to the public. So persons have indicated verbally that the season starts, as you indicated, April 7th. But up until that time that I receive something in writing, then the public will be able to have it. So as we speak, Andrew, today being the 19th of March, I'm awaiting that official written confirmation, and once that is received,
well, that's not good
the
at
public
all.
Will
that,
be given.
That's not good at all, Philo. The communications man doesn't know. Philo, what's going on there? What's going on there, Roland, at the BCA? Roland, can you tell me?
Andrew, communication is only a problem for Barbados Cricket Association. Communication is also a problem at CWI level as well, Andrew. So, as Stephen said, when he gets it in writing, he will obviously have it and he can read it. I know what they're saying. The page is blank, so he has nothing to read. As communications, it will get to him, Andrew, in due course. Obviously, to Charles Griffith, the unveil of that statue is paramount. And I want to wish Stephen and the BC and all those who are involved. Right. Also, I think Cricket Legends will play a role. I hope that is a successful event. And Sir Charles is celebrated. I've known him for a very long time, and I would tip my hat to him, Andrew, because he's a nice man.
Nice man.
A lot of people don't know him. Mm. Yeah, because they don't get close to him.
Yes, nice
but
man.
But he's a nice man. Mm. When you get to know Sir Charles Griffith,
yes.
As I told Stephen Leslie, he looks tough on the outside, but he's a nice jello on the inside.
I like that. Nice jello. He's like Ken Husbands then.
So, be careful. Be careful.
Watch your conduct. Watch your conduct.
just before you go, Stephen, Kevin Wickham, what's going on there? Because last week in the show, people called to say that Kevin Wickham was dropped from the Barbados team. What's the story with him? Because I haven't seen anything, any release indicating, you know, one thought it would have been in Antigua. I know he buried his father last Tuesday. What's the story on him? Kevin Wickham.
Yeah, Andrew, there was an official release of the squad for Barbados Pride that was basically, this is round 4 and 5 that are being played. And Kevin Wickham's name was not in that original release. We had a subsequent release, if you recall, where we paid respect to his late dad. And in that release, we indicated that Kevin, as a result of, you know, being with his family in Barbados, was not participating in that series, which was ongoing then, which would have been, I think, series number 4. So as it stands now, the Barbados Pride team have moved from one territory to the next. And my understanding is that everything remains as is. If, again, something has changed, my understanding is that Kevin would have been here, as you said, for his funeral of his late dad. And we offer condolences again last week. So that is my understanding. And if, again, something happens,
but
the matches start on Wednesday.
But Stephen, something is wrong here.
Start on Wednesday.
Stephen, something is wrong. Because my understanding is that Kevin Wickham is in Trinidad. That's what I was told.
Well, that is my understanding too.
That's what I was told.
You gentlemen like me, once I get that information, I can put it there. I'm a person who is very much clear cut, Andrew. You know me well.
Yes.
I've spent about 3 decades as an administrator in sport, and I don't get ahead of myself. If I get that information as part of the communication and marketing team, I will share that.
Well,
so for you and Philo to hear that he's in Trinidad, that's wonderful to hear.
No,
I will act accordingly.
We're not hearing. We know that he's in Trinidad. We know.
Wonderful,
he's
wonderful to hear, Andrew. Yeah.
No. And once I get.
I was saying, Andrew, I was saying that once I get that information, I will then be able to say officially that he's part of that squad in Trinidad, but. Well, the game starts on Wednesday, Andrew. So
yeah, which is tomorrow.
I believe that it's less than 24 hours, which is tomorrow. Correct.
Roland, what's going on at the BCA in terms of communication? Roland, can you tell me what's going on there? That doesn't sound good to me at all.
You're asking the wrong person, Andrew. I am not involved with the BCA. I think Stephen Leslie is the right person you're asking. Steve, can I give you the answers? I certainly can't.
Oh my golly! Well, I mean, I did my investigations, and I was told that yes, he was on. He's certainly very much with the Barbados team and those responsible. Really, you got to do better. There's no doubt about that. In fact, the vice president is now the acting president. I don't think I've seen an official release on that. Have you seen it, fellow? Come on.
I haven't seen anything from the BC here.
What's going on
But
there?
I can tell you that Wickham is in Trinidad.
Definitely.
Because Sunday is the traveling day.
Yes.
He would have left Sunday to go to Trinidad to join the squad. Mm. I don't know who he's replacing, but he's in Trinidad.
That's a very good one.
Because obviously you can only have a squad of 15.
Yes. So I imagine...
You only have a squad of 15. So somebody has to come out. Ever to get in.
Well, I understand it's Brathwaite. That's what
I'm saying. Well, Andrew and fellow.
Yes.
We're all cricket persons, so I use the analogy that you delivered with a high action and you bowled googlies, but I'm keeping my bat and pad close together.
Mm.
Once I get information regarding Mr. Wickham and who he would have replaced, that will be made public.
All right. Well, but Stephen,
no problem.
We want to thank you very much indeed for coming and talking to us, because one would imagine that if you don't know Wickham is going, then you would know who he's replacing. I think that's a logical conclusion. When I look into the dictionary, it says logic is the science of reasoning. Thanks, Stephen, for coming and talking to us on Masters and Guests.
Thanks for having me.
All right, good. That certainly would put a little bit of a spoke in the wheel there. Come on, BC, you got to do better than that with the communications. Truth is not always popular, but truth is always right. Now, let's go for a commercial break. Mason and Guest, brought to the association with our very good friends at ASFE, where rum the best shot of the day.
ASFE, white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Yes, I see Roland Butcher's smile is as broad as Kevin Wickham's bat. It's shocking, absolutely shocking. But gentlemen, I don't want to lose my focus, because this is going to make primetime sports. But let's go to Philo, and then we're going to go to Basil. Philo, is Jason Holder in your side to England?
Yes.
Tell us why.
Because, Andrew, when you look at it, we go to England in difficult conditions in July. Jason, with his experience. And Jason and Kemar Roach should be two guys who'll be there. I would be surprised if Cricket West Indies selection panel selects. I don't know if that's why I asked if they're picking 17. 15, but he should be in that squad. I think that Jason, you know, everybody, he has the experience, Andrew, and I think that he will relish the challenge of being in England, playing against England. It's a series that a lot of people are interested in. A lot of the tickets for the Birmingham Test match has been sold out. A lot of people are interested in that match. There's also a game in Kent in July when they arrive. A lot of people are interested in West Indies here in England, and I think that Jason coming on that squad and being a member of that squad is critical. I think he can only help that squad. He can also help Captain Craig Brathwaite as well, and we can't undervalue him. We can't even undervalue Roach. Roach is a value to our cricket, Andrew, and that I see a lot of discussions on the chat group. But Jason will be in my squad.
So are you going to take Holder, Roach, and Silgraves? Talk to me, fellow.
Andrew.
Yes, fellow. I'm listening to you, fellow.
Andrew, sometimes you got it. Somebody has to sit down. I know they said that Justin is the squad in that Australia has done remarkably well, and people deserve another opportunity. But if you have senior players who are willing to come back, who are coming back looking to play the cricket seriously,
right,
I think you have to consider them. I think that if Jason does not make that team, it'll be a big miss. England is difficult, and we want to win in England. It'd just be unfortunate for one of the young players to miss out. That's why I'm asking, what are the numbers? 16, 15, or 17 members? If there's 17 members, then yes.
I'm told 16. I'm told 16, but it could be 15. Basil, would you take Jason Holder to England? Basil, you're muted.
If you're taking 16,
yes,
he would probably get into the squad, but not at the expense of Graves. Graves would still be in the squad. But I agree with Roland. I mean, Jason Holder had the opportunity to go to Australia.
Yes.
And just like what happened in Bangladesh, all of the big boys did not want to go to Bangladesh. Players went up against, and I agree again with what Roland said, they went up against the best team in the world in their conditions and beat them in a game. And now you're going to tell the guy, all right, buddy, we got to bring in this other guy. No. Unless you're going with 16, then maybe Holder gets in. Mm. Otherwise, he gonna be outside looking in from my perspective.
So let's assume.
Well, and I just want to mention this.
Sure.
I just want to mention this. You were talking about fast bowlers earlier. There's another guy from Jamaica, but he's injured, Gordon Bryan.
Yes.
He's another guy that you can look at for the future, too.
Right. Can you give me the points there as we head into the next round? You got the points there, Basil. It would be interesting. Can you give those points before we can head back to Roland Butcher, who perhaps is a scout? Roland, I understand you've been you got fired, but I understand you're a scout. Is that true, Roland Butcher?
Andrew, I think you better let Basil answer your question first.
You know Tony Gray. You know Tony Gray's a scout. Yes, my friend.
The points are as follows.
Yes.
Windward Islands has 67.4.
67.
Followed by Leeward Islands with 64.2. Mm-hmm. Followed by Jamaica Scorpions, 50.8. Mm-hmm. Barbados Sprite, 48.2. Mm-hmm. Trinidad and Tobago, 47.2.
Mm-hmm.
Guyana, 46.2. Mm-hmm. The Academy, 30.8.
Mm-hmm.
And combined campuses,
19.8. So the Windwards are still in front despite losing to Trinidad there and the Leewards. So the Windwards and the Leewards are doing pretty okay so far.
Yeah. Because the Windwards are top of the table in terms of the bonus point system.
The bonus point system.
At 31.4.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yes.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, I see Barbados in the middle of the pack. They've lost two games so far. Let me come back to you, Roland Butcher. Have you seen any young... Tell us about Isaiah Thorne. When you were a selector, did you have your eyes on him, Roland?
Well, Andrew, don't forget I was a youth selector as well, so
yes,
I've had to track Thorne. I mean, I saw Thorne the same time when I went to Ghana with when we saw Shamar Joseph. So Thorne has always been there as a young up and coming player. I'm delighted that Ghana has given him the opportunity to play in the first team this year. You know, he's a young talent. He's strong. He's got good height. He can only improve. So, you know, if he gets the opportunity and he's a good worker, I think he wants to go a long way. I think the success of Shamar Joseph would also be a motivating factor for him.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, I think Ghana can feel that perhaps they have found another young fast bowler to add to the stock where they've already got.
What about Shields from Jamaica? What do you think of him?
Now, Shields for me is probably I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I think Shields is the quickest bowler we've got in the Caribbean.
Say that again. Say that again, Roland.
Yeah, Shields is the fastest bowler in the Caribbean.
Oh, that's amazing. And
there's no question. There's no question about that.
Oh, dear.
I think the problem with Shields has been he's a teacher. So obviously he's had to mix teaching and playing. He wasn't playing a lot for Ghana. For Jamaica last year.
Right.
This year he's decided to give it a real go. I think someone like Shields, if you could get hold of him and put him in a program where it is cricket that he's focusing on.
Right.
With his pace, you know, you would have something to work with. He's got the talent, he's got the pace. He just really needs to be in the right situation, the right team, and the right program, and you've got another asset.
Mm. Okay, we just got another minute.
True, Andrew, just to mention.
Yes.
I just want to mention that I mentioned Shields and Brian's names to Sarandi. Right. And he was like, he would love to get a chance to work with both of them.
I see. Okay, Jim, we've just got another 36 seconds left in the show. Philo, would you take Jaden Seals to England? He's playing again. Philo, talk to me. Talk to me, Philo.
Yeah, it's a hard question.
Yes.
Yeah,
would you take
it? I take that Jaden Seals is an asset. He's been there before. He's been all right, board specialist. Best injury. I would take it, Andrew. I just want to know how many they're allowed to take.
Mm.
15 or 17.
Let's assume it's 15. He's going to find it difficult to get in?
Yeah, Andrew, it'd be very difficult for him to get in if you take it 15.
I agree.
Telling you.
All right. Dr. Four, you got 15 seconds. Would you pick Jaden Seals, Doc?
No, I give him a chance to make sure he's fully fit rather than and subject him to the strains and stresses of such a tour.
All right. 15 seconds to you, Mr. Butcher. Would you take Mr. Seals?
Which Butcher?
We got two Butchers on here, you know.
No, but remember I said Mr. Butcher. That's the senior one.
Okay. That's the senior one.
Yes. Roland, would you take Seals quickly?
Andrew, if it yes, because Jaden Seals offers you what you need in England.
I agree.
He bowls a full length at good pace.
Right.
His record is before good. Injury has been great. He was our best Indies stand up bowler. He was the number one bowler before that. He went on the 18 tour. He's now playing for a Scottish cricket.
Right.
Once he proves his fitness.
Right.
Definitely.
10 seconds, Butchers Junior. 10 seconds. 10 seconds. Would you pick him?
Yes, because Jordan is not going to play in front of him. I'm taking Jordan out for Seals. For Seals.
All right. Thank you very much indeed. Gentlemen, the time has flown by so quickly. A different time. We started just around 8:30. It's been a wonderful show. Thanks to you, Dr. Ford. Time to go to bed. Philo, it's almost time for your third coffee. Thanks to you, Roland Butcher, for saying that Jason Hall is not in your side. That's going to make primetime sports. And, of course, Basil Butcher Jr. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a bird tomorrow. It's good night.
If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify. To sing this song, tell me bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.